Live, local. This is 5AA, always Adelaide. 5AA mornings with Graham Goodings.
Minutes to 12, 5AA on this Wednesday morning, the first day of April. No question we live in a digital era. Smartphones, iPads, social media and the like. What about the glory days, the golden age of going to a movie? You know, when people used to actually get dressed up to go to the movies. And then later came the drive-ins. How magical was it going to a drive-in? Well, all this has been encapsulated by author Scott Smith. Scott, good morning. Thanks for coming into the studio.
G'day, Graham. Thanks for having me on.
You've just put the book in front of me. It is magnificent. South Australia, looking back, South Australian picture theatres and drive-ins. What motivated you to do the book?
Well, just some memories, Graham. Yeah, I love history, and I've wrote a book on my old hometown in Victoria, Central Victoria, and that's sort of given me the courage to have a crack at this one. And every time you see a social media post or a something about the drive-ins, in particular, that was the initial inspiration.
Yeah.
They just go crazy. The posts go crazy. The likes and the comments. Everyone's got a memory.
So let's start with the glorious picture theatres. I mean, they're great picture theatres and the complexes and that, but they're just not, they don't have that aura, the glamour that they once had.
They don't, do they? No, they're very much boxes now. They're beautiful, and they're, you know, the technology's there. I went down to Marion. You can go to the pictures and have water sprayed over you and that type of stuff, but there's nothing like the old Regent and the Metro and the York. I would have loved to have seen some of those. We're still lucky we've got the Piccadilly and the Capri and a few others.
Yeah, well, look, I have memories. I'm quite a bit older than you of going to the movies with an auntie of mine, and she took me and I was about 8 or 9, and I saw The Wizard of Oz,
yep,
which on the big screen was just a remarkable, I mean, you know, it was just overwhelming because it started off in black and white and then turned to colour and, you know, I was left speechless, quite frankly.
Yes.
I just fell in love with the movies. I remember later on seeing Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca and The Maltese Falcon and movies like that. And you just don't have that feel about going to the movies anymore.
No.
Although it's, you know, enjoyable and the sound is great and the quality is sensational, there was just something about the early days.
There was. I've spoken to people that, you know, pretty much some of them form their lives around the movie theatres. I've spoken to a fellow, John Teely, historian, and he loved the Regent Theatre.
Yeah.
And just loved it. And so he built the Regent Theatre in his shed in the back of his house.
Wow.
And John's getting on a bit now, and his health is not as it was, but they're actually trying to get his shed heritage listed. It's got the stairs from the Regent. It's got the curtains. There's a postcard from John Wayne there.
Wow.
Wishing the staff well. You name it. It's just, yeah. So I've spoken to people like that, and they have just been so open and forthcoming. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, just flipping through this. I mean, unfortunately, it's radio. We can't show people the pictures. But, how did you go about collecting some of these photos?
Well, I got on social media, and there's a fella called Bruce Richmond. He's got it's called SA Drive-ins and Cinemas Facebook page. And I just messaged him, and I said, look, these photos that you've got, he's got thousands of photos on there.
Yeah.
He was a projectionist and owned drive-ins and whatnot. And I just said to him, this is a book, and he didn't even hesitate. He said, let's do it. Yeah, so got in contact with him, and we've become good mates. And, and look, it's just gone from there. People have, as I say, have been so forthcoming. People have opened their houses up to me, given me memorabilia. I've got the opening night from the Piccadilly program in the book.
Yeah.
A lady just said, look, just take it. Wendy, she was from the Blue Line. She was fantastic. She worked for Wallace's for, I think, nearly 4 decades.
Yeah,
and she worked at John Martin's. And she was actually at John Martin's the same year. John Martin's, I think, closed in March. And then the Blue Line closed in November, I think it was.
Wow.
So she was a huge part of history. And I just said to her, like, you know, that's pretty special, and she didn't think anything of it. So two icons closing in the same year, and she was part of both of them.
Wow. Just looking here, I mean, bringing back memories, you know, West's Theatre on Hindley Street. We have the Curzon, Liberty Theatre, Plaza Theatre. I mean, it's just amazing, some of the theatres. Not all of them sort of spectacular and grand.
No.
But,
no.
You know, and lots of suburban theatres.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, so the city theatres, were, you know, they kind of spoke for themselves. But then these suburban theatres like, Clifford's and Waterman's, they were the two big players in Adelaide. They saw an opportunity, you know, the early 1900s, 1910s, 1920s. They just exploded.
Yeah.
Anywhere you could put people, a bunch of people, to and a screen, they put a cinema or a theatre, yeah.
Now, if any of you listening in have memories of theatres, your favourite theatre, what movie did you see first in a theatre, give us a call and have a chat with Scott. 8223-0000 is the number to ring. And these photos sort of take you back, other than the fact that there's... You know, you see an F.J. Holden and old cars there and people, you know, wearing clothes of the 60s and so forth. You know, it just is nostalgia unlimited.
It is, yeah. And look, the initial inspiration for the book was a drive-in. So I love the drive-ins. That's my memories. You know, like I'm 52, so that was my memories. But, you know, you look back at these theatres and go, oh, just to go to one of them would have been fantastic.
Well, I can tell you, I'm from Melbourne originally, and I went to the first drive-in in Melbourne. It was
Burwood.
Burwood.
Yep.
The Burwood, yeah.
Yes.
And there was one at Oakley and then Dandenong.
Yes, yeah.
And my parents used to dress me up in my pyjamas and dressing gown. But for whatever reason, don't know what it was, but all the kids would be at the... You'd see the kids running up to the candy bar on the swings and slides in their pyjamas and dressing gown.
Well, it's interesting you say that because Huey Wallace actually opened the first drive-in in Adelaide. We were the second in Australia. And Huey Wallace was actually... He saw Burwood and he said, we've got to have this.
Yeah.
And then there was a race in four. So he went to Melbourne and saw the drive-in and said, yep, we're doing this. But there was a race in four to open the first drive-in. R.M. Williams was actually one that, I think it was the R.M. Williams. It's a businessman, R.M. Williams from Prospect.
Yeah, yeah.
He had property next to the Yatala Jail and he said, I'm going to put a drive-in on that. Never eventuated. There was a lot of, look, there was legislation to try and stop the drive-ins. Don Dunstan actually... Tried to stop them because they were immoral. People weren't going to be dressed properly and all sorts of stuff.
Really? I mean,
yeah, so,
libertarian Don Dunstan, who was, you know, all for, you know, pink hot pans in Parliament forth.
He was integral in getting them through. So, yeah it was just... And I've got all that information in the book.
Brilliant.
And, yeah, there's news articles and all sorts of stuff. And, quite controversial when they first came out, but...
Yeah,
clearly, I mean, they did come through.
And we had the twin drive-in, of course. I mean, that was most unusual.
Yes.
I can remember sort of craning my neck because I wanted to see what was on both screens.
Yep. So that the Marion was actually an MGM drive-in, and they had a curved screen. Pretty sure it was the only one in South Australia.
Yeah.
And I spoke to the projectionist and he's in the book, and he could never work out why there was a curved screen. They did it because of the throw onto the screen, they wanted to make sure that the picture was actually contained within the screen.
Yeah.
But yeah, they MGM had their own standards. They you had to have the building had to withstand 4 inches of snow. That was the same as the Metro.
Very appropriate in South Australia.
Yeah. So 4 inches of snow in Adelaide. So.
Yeah. Not likely to happen. But I mean, you know, you had to like at times. It could be pouring with rain. You're at the drive-in and the rain starts when you've got the wipers going.
Yes.
And the windows would fog up.
Yes.
You know, didn't stop us, though.
Yeah. O'Halloran Hill, actually, they always tried to encourage people to start their cars to try and lift the fog. Obviously, because of the raised area in O'Halloran Hill, didn't always work. So if you couldn't see the movie, you got to pass out to say, come back. You got a fog pass. You can come back.
Right. We have a caller. Stephen, good morning. Go ahead.
Oh, g'day, Graham and Scott. There was a little cinema in Rundle Street back in my day called the Savoy. It was just end-to-end newsreels.
Yes.
Do you guys remember that one?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
So it would just be going 24/7. You could walk in any time and just watch over and over newsreels of the news of the world.
Yes.
That's the only way you could see video, or not video, film of news because... Yeah, pre-TV days, you're right. Yeah.
So they used to run for an hour, running reels of an hour, and then they'd start again, and they changed every Friday, I think, and they'd have cartoons and whatnot as well. So
yeah, but, that's right.
And a lot of the country areas, Lee Creek, I spoke to a lady in Lee Creek, that was their news. They didn't get TV until much later in the piece, and every Saturday night with their movie, they had a little news bit at the start. That was what they got their news from.
Good on you, Stephen. Thanks for your call. Gary, good morning. I believe you're a retired projectionist.
Graham and Scott, good morning. How are you? Scott, we have spoken before when I did a show for the former president, Bill Clinton.
Oh, Gary, yes.
But long before that, Scotty, I started off in a church hall down at Flinders Park at a 35mm setup down at Drake Avenue. That was my first introduction to projection.
Yep.
And following that, I was doing work at the Hindmarsh Town Hall, the old Hindmarsh Town Hall, where they had 2,000 seats. And then first full-time job was the Blue Line Drive-In back in 1974. So, yeah, we're going back a few years. But now you're doing a good job, Scott, with all the background and the work you've done. I look forward to catching up with you at the book launch.
Absolutely. Gary, I relay your story many times, mate, with Bill Clinton. I love that story.
Good on you, Gary. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
We've got calls mounting up, and we'll take as many as we can. 8223 000 if you want to talk to Scott about memories of the history of movies, or not movies so much, but movie theatres and drive-ins in South Australia. 8223 000 is the number to ring.
5AA Mornings with Graham Goodings.
Twelve to 12, 5AA on this April Fool's Day, Wednesday the 1st of April. And in the studio, I'm very pleased to have Scott Smith. And we're going to be talking to him in just a moment about this wonderful book. We've been talking to him already, but we've held him over because the calls are running hot. Sally, good morning to you.
Hey, buongiorno.
Salvi.
How are you?
Salvi.
Yeah.
I'll get it right in a minute.
That's all right.
You're a movie and drive-in buff?
Oh, look, when I heard you talk about Wendy, I said, I've got to ring up. Because I started working part-time with Wallace Theatres in 1981 at the Blue Line Drive-In.
Fantastic.
And it was at the time they were looking at closing drive-ins down, so they didn't want to appoint full-time managers. So I went there as part-time. Then I went to the Park Line, I went to the High Line, I went to the Valley Line, and I finished up at the Main Line.
Fantastic
days.
Yeah, great memories,
eh? And I've got the posts and speakers at home from the Main Line, and I've got the original seesaw that Huey Wallace made back in 1955.
You're kidding.
And my grandchildren love it.
Ah, that's amazing. What a great story, Salvi.
Thank you. It's a great memory. Yeah. Have a good day, boys.
Thanks for sharing it with us. Yeah, the book involved is called Looking Back, South Australian Picture Theatres and Drive-Ins. Not out yet. We'll talk a bit more about that with Scott in a moment, but let's take another call. Mike, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Graham, and good morning, Scott. Back in the early 70s, I was working for the Advertiser in Whyalla, and I happened to go up to Cooper Pedy following a story, and I ended up going to the drive-in theatre with a mate of mine up there. And at half time, up on the screen came an advertisement, like as in a slide, you know, patrons, explosives are not to be brought into this theatre. The manager, right? And Graham, we all know up there in Cooper Pedy, you know, the miners used to set off Jellignite on New Year's Eve, you know, for a bit of fun. But I ended up being a journo and photographer. I asked the projectionist, could he put it up again? And I put my nick on camera on time exposure, and I got a copy of that.
Fantastic.
And we ran it in the Advertiser. So it was, again, the weird things that you see in movie theatres.
That's the truth. Good on you, Mike. Thanks for sharing that.
That slide is actually in the book.
Is that right?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, and under the screen at Cooper Pedy as well is where they used to store the town coffins. Just a bit of trivia, yeah.
Well, I suppose when you look at a drive-in, it's a big open space, isn't it?
And, perfect.
Know, yeah, there's a lot of space to do stuff.
Yeah, there's a little shed underneath there, and that's where they stored them.
And I always used to look forward to interval, and some people would park right up the front, some people would park right up the back. Yep. And they'd have the longest trips to get to the cafeteria.
Absolutely. And I went up to Cooper Pedy and they had, because their screen blew over in 2022.
Yeah.
So there's a big article in the book about how they got that back, because they don't build screens anymore.
Yeah.
They're not building them. They're taking them down.
Yeah.
They had a lot of trouble putting the screen up and knowing what paint to use and whatever. So, yeah, that was quite difficult as well for them.
I imagine the maintenance of a drive-in screen would be huge, because they're out in the elements all the time.
Yeah, they're not too bad. Some of them are more than others. Murray Bridge, they put the aluminium, the plates upside down.
Yeah.
And so when the birds would sit up the top, they'd poop down the screen and it'd get trapped on the... So that needed washing a lot.
No, that's not good.
Other than that, yeah, they were pretty... Yeah, just needed a wash now and then. And yeah. Paint.
You have a question for Scott or like to reminisce, give us a call, 8223-0000. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, hi, Scott and Graham. I'm trying to actually find the name of a cinema that I used to go to in the early 80s in the city. I think it was technically called part of the Regent Cinemas. This one was called Regent 3, but I'm trying to find out. It was given a name before that. It was downstairs, and I remember seeing movies like Octopussy there and The Howling. That's how far back it goes.
Yep.
But I'm sure it had a name. It wasn't. It was called, it's Regent 3 for a time.
But is it the one in Gawler Place?
Yeah. But yep. It was down that end. It was on the opposite side of the mall. It was opposite from where Regent 1 and 2 were. This was a much smaller downstairs cinema.
Yes, the I'm trying to remember. It's in the book. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's.
Trying to go through the book. There's too many pages.
We came across that one real late, really late in the piece, and we came across another one, the classic cinema in Weymouth Street. It was there for three years, and they ran The Gods Must Be Crazy for a year, and they cleaned up. They absolutely spoke to the owner of it, and they absolutely cleaned up with The Gods Must Be Crazy. But then they got kicked out. They put officers there.
Good on you, Mark. Yeah. Thanks for your call. The Gods, that was sort of like a movie done on a shoestring, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it was just a...
Yeah, it was huge.
And it was absolutely huge.
Yeah.
We've talked about the theatres and screens and so forth, but you must have met some great characters while putting the book together.
Yeah, I have. I've been right across the state. I went to Iron Knob and those people up there showed me through the old theatre there, and everything's still in place in the projection room. The projectors are all still there. I met a fella, spoke to a fella on the phone because I didn't believe the story. He had they stole two chooks and they ate one, and then during the movie, packed house, they went and released the chook inside a dark theatre. And it just wreaked havoc. And that guy actually got locked up for a couple of nights and fined. So I spoke to him on the phone because I thought, this is not real. But yep, it was dead set.
And I thought rolling Jaffers down the aisle was pretty gay stuff.
Yep.
I think we've got time for one more call. Mark, go ahead.
No. I think we just spoke.
Yeah, we did. Sorry. Thank you for Mark. Yes, we did. We did speak to Mark. Anyway, we're just about out of time. But, Scott, we can't let you go without telling us the book is not released yet. When does it come out?
It's not. No, it's coming out May 16 as a launch at the Piccadilly, 2:30 Saturday afternoon. We've got Tony Pilkington as MC, Rex Leverington, guest speaker.
Excellent.
And then, driveinsandcinemas.com, you can order a book there. You can pre-order a book there. We'd love to see you at the Piccadilly. If you go to driveinsandcinemas.com, you can get a ticket there. They're free, but you do need to book just for numbers. So,
and I can say that it's a beautiful book. I mean, it's quite weighty, isn't it?
Thanks, Graham. I'm a graphic designer, so I design it myself as well.
Well, you've done a great job.
And I love coffee table books. So
yeah,
they're
my this
passion.
Is one, but it's good exercise too, picking up.
It's, 2.5 kilos, is it?
It is. I was going to say, it's got to be a couple of kilos.
2.5 kilos, yep. Comes with a slip case as well. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
Scott, thanks for coming in. All the best
thanks for
the sales
me,
of the book.
I've
I'm sure it'll
it.
Be huge.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with author Scott Smith, Looking Back, South Australian Picture Theatres and Drive-Ins.